just go to you in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, Lord God, for this opportunity together in your house, Lord. Father, we've come to hear from you this morning. We want, Lord, to not just feel your presence, but, Lord, to be touched by your word. Father, and Lord, may, Lord, you have your will in this service. And I pray, dear God, that you receive the glory. And Lord God, I pray that your people, Lord, will be benefited greatly, Lord, by the word today. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll read verses 1 and verse 6. I'm going to continue with our subject on being certain. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. You may be seated. As you can, I'm sure now, know that faith is the key to being certain. Because, you know, it's your certainty, as we said, it doesn't lie in yourself. Your certainty lies in God. Your certainty lies in the Word of God. You know, we can look at the Word and we can see the character of God, who he actually is. And that's where our certainty should lie. And that if he has said it in his Word, then he's going to keep it. But as we read here, it said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so, you know, the prophet said, look, God is actually obligated to bring your faith to a showdown. So we are going to be faced with times where we're going to just have to believe, irregardless of what things appear to be, irregardless of how things feel, irregardless of what the circumstances are, we're just going to have to believe and trust God. You know, I've mentioned several times about the Hebrew children, Meshach, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how that God is testing them. God let them actually go right into the fire. The thing was, you realize this actually from reading the scripture, they didn't know whether God was going to deliver them from the fire or not. God's word did not assure them, you're not going to get burned up. And the prophet points out and says, look, they were certain that if God let them get burned up, now here's where the certainty comes in, that they'd come up again in the resurrection. You know, as Brother Branham said, look, death can't take you until God's finished with you. Well, they didn't know. But they knew one thing. They knew that that even if they perished in the fire, they weren't going to die. Because God's word had promised them a resurrection. And they were certain. Look at this. Here they were standing. They didn't know whether God was going to let them burn up in the fire or not. But Brother Branham said the one thing they were certain of, they were certain that it was all going to work out for their good. Think about that. Think about that. Many times people will look at bad things that are going on in their life, and you'll tell them, look, all things work together for the good of them of the Lord, and they're like, well, how in the world could this be for my good? The problem is, you're looking at it through man's reasoning. You're looking at it through your own reasoning. You think the only way things can be good for you is if it's all easy for you. If there's nothing going bad in your life, then it's all good. Sometimes we get, like I said many times, we get so focused on this life right here. You know, you've heard the saying, people can't see the trees for the forest, you know. But sometimes people actually, they get focused on such little things in life. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, I've said this years ago. If you pull back and just get in the presence of God, then maybe you'll be able to look at the big picture. Not just this one little thing that's going on in your life during this particular time. And you know, I'll tell you this. You know, we think, well, if we pray and we ask God to deliver us, it's just going to happen. I remember when I was actually a teenager. Years and years ago, I was a teenager, and I went to hear, it was one of the first times I'd ever went and heard Brother Biscoe preach. And I was in Lima, Ohio, and I went to hear him preach, and the thing that stuck out to me from what he said in that message was, he said, you know, God's people got to where they want everything instant. He said, we've got so much instant things in this world. He said, we got instant pudding. We got instant potatoes. We got, you know, instant this. And he says, and we got fast food, and everything's fast and instant in that. And he says, I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't always come instant in a walk with God. And you can see that through examples of God's people. Look, these aren't fairy tales in the Bible. These stories that are put in there, they're actually testimonies of God's people. They're testimony of how God works. There's testimony on how God, what God will actually take his people through, how he'll actually allow his people to be tested, and how, as I said when I started this off, that he will bring their faith to a showdown. Now, we couldn't preach on this subject and leave off and close it without touching on the life of Job. What a testimony, what a story and testimony of this man. Look, Job hadn't did anything wrong. You can see that when you start right there at the see, but when Job writes these things, he's writing this after it's all happened. This start of this about Job didn't know that the devil went up and appeared before God, and God was bragging on him and saying, hey, look, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in all the earth. Job didn't know that when all this started out. Job didn't find that out till later. If Job would have known that going in, things could have been a whole lot different. But look, Job was human. And so when you read through the book of Job, you can see Job kind of wondering about things and questioning and wondering why this and that. But the thing was, Job did know that he hadn't did anything wrong. But that didn't mean that the devil wasn't there to say, maybe you have done something wrong. Look, when you look at what we call Job's comforters, you kind of want to put quotations around that. I don't understand, look, friends, why people want to get comfort in misery, I don't know. If you know what I mean, take comfort in misery. There are some people, they get miserable, and when they're miserable, they want everybody around them to be miserable. And they're not satisfied until they make other people miserable. Well, I'll tell you this, friends. Look, you're not going to make me miserable. Look, you say, well, that's because of who you are. No, look, the devil tries to make me miserable by a lot of times people not listening. And the devil said, you've been preaching this stuff for years and they ain't changed. I said, look, that's not my problem. That's not what I'm obligated to. I'm not obligated to change you. I am only obligated to yield to God, preach to you, preach the truth. You're the one that's obligated to do the changing. And look, you say, well, I can't change. If you just let God, he will. You say, how do I do it? Just accept the word and start living by it. Job had met God's requirements. Look, friends, when you've met God's requirements and nothing and everything still seems to be going bad and wrong in that, just stand still, stand firm. I know that our human side wants to think that, you know, just how quick can I get delivered out of this and this be over? I've been there. I know. There's been things I've went through and I thought, why am I still going through this? I went through trials that lasted a year. And I went through a sickness, an illness I had that lasted for many years. I shared that testimony with you, how that here I was suffering from mental illness, and from the things I was suffering from, I could go places and preach, and I'd pray for people, and they'd get healed of the very thing I was suffering from. They'd go out of there healed. I'd walk out of there still afflicted. And I'll tell you this, friends, it wasn't because I didn't have faith to believe God would heal me. I was asking. God wasn't answering. Or at least it seemed that way. What was it? Look, it worked out for my good. I'll tell you this, friend. What God taught me through all that, I wouldn't trade for nothing in the world. What God worked out in my life and understanding and increased my faith beyond anything I could even imagine, I wouldn't trade that for anything. I wouldn't go back and say, God, erase those years and I never have to go through that. No, I went through it, and I guess I'll tell you this, I benefited from it. There is nothing that God lets you go through that it isn't for your benefit. You're going to benefit from it. Sometimes you'll go through it kicking and screaming. Look, I've said this over and over and over. Maybe someday I'll say it and everybody will believe it. The more you kick and scream, the more God's going to let it get poured on you. When you quit kicking and screaming and throwing a fit about it, then you'll come out of it. You got to, Brother Bram said, you got to be sure that in your heart you believe God's word. He said, Job was sure that he believed God's word. Remember his wife, you know, before these so-called comforters from the church, you know, board came over to meet him. His wife looked at everything that was going on. Look, friends, look at, you know, sometimes you think you got it bad. Look at everything that happened to Job all in one day, one right after another. When you read through the book of Job, you find there was one messenger after another coming and telling him all these bad things, these events that were happening, and they were just happening just like that all within that first one day. Somebody come and stole all your cattle. Somebody come and stole all your livestock. So the storm came, the roof fell, and all your seven of your kids died. What a bad day. Ain't none of us here had ever had one day like Job, where everything that could go wrong went wrong. Sometimes you feel like it. But if you'll just stop, there's so many things in your life you can thank God for. Hallelujah. His wife said, look at everything that's going on with you. Look, why don't you just curse God and die? You'd be better off if you were dead. You ever had that thought run through your head when it seemed like a bunch of stuff was going bad and I'd be better off if I was dead? That's the devil. We need to start realizing and recognizing when the devil's shooting thoughts through our head. Look, because those are intrusive thoughts. They're not yours. They don't belong to you. Why don't you just curse God and die? You'd be better off dead. Now, look at this. Right in the middle of all this, she's saying that because she's looking at everything bad that's going wrong, and she's like, this is horrible. Look, if this is what serving God means, I don't want no part of it. Job said, thou speakest like a foolish woman. Hallelujah. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Brother Branham, in his life story, you know, he talks about how that, you know, all the things that was happening right there, you know, the flood and all these different things, and then his wife taking sick, his baby taking sick, and these things, and they weren't even together, the mother and the child, you know, and here he's running back and forth, and he's going, and one's dying, and the other one's dying, and all these things, you know, and so he says, the devil says to him, after all you've done for God, serving God, and this is how he's going to treat you? And he said, I started to say, well, if that's the way it is, he said, when I opened my mouth to say that, he said, instead what came out was, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Look, your certainty does not lie in your understanding. There's going to be many things that you're going through, and you're not going to understand why you're going through them. You're not going to understand why they're happening. You're not going to understand. You say, well, God, why, God, are you letting this happen? And you know what? God's not going to immediately come down and say, well, this is why. Because I can tell you this. A lot of times people learn more from experience than just words. I can tell you that. That's why sometimes people got to learn the hard way. You try to tell them, and they still got to go through it. Look, when you've met God's requirements, and it seems like everything's still bad, it seems like everything, that nothing's changing, that's when you've got to be certain, look, God will do it in his time. When it's the right time. If you were in the midst of a really bad trial, and we just asked God, God, get me out of this right now, and God got you out of it right now, how much would you really learn from it? Faith is a long-term thing. Look, friends, you look at our Christian walk. Look at our faith that we're looking to and believing God for a resurrection and a rapture. How long have you been serving God and you've been holding on to that and believing that? You see, why do you still believe it after all these years? It's because your faith. Maybe when you started out believing it, you didn't think he's going to have to hold on to that belief for that long. It was going to be real quick. It was going to happen. God's coming soon. But what's soon when you think about the time of God? I'll tell you this, friends. Since the time of creation till the time of now has been a blink, a bat of God's eye. God wasn't just focused on just Adam. God was focused on every child he was going to have in every age. He wasn't just bringing redemption just for this one man and woman in Eden. His plan of redemption was going to be for every one of his children. Peter, James, John, you know, after Jesus promised, I'm going to come again. Jesus had promised them a resurrection, promised he was going to come again. I imagine they went forth in their lifetime thinking it was going to be real soon. It's been more than 2,000 years ago. But they held their faith all the way to the end. Like Paul. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I have stayed my course. We're in this for the long term. For the whole journey. And I'll tell you this, friends, after the resurrection has come, after we've been raptured, we're sitting around the table of the marriage supper of the Lamb, you think you're like, okay, well, really don't got no more need for faith anymore. Glad I had that back there in that life, that human life, but I don't need it now. There's never going to be a time ever in your existence, in your eternity, where you're not going to need faith. Oh, yeah, we know we're going to have a body change. There'll be no sickness. There'll be no more temptation of sin and all that. But look, for the time and ages that are to come and roll in that, you're still going to need faith. Hallelujah. And look, our faith, this is the thing. Our faith is not based on our understanding. It's not based on something we can figure out or our theology. Faith is not scientifically based. Faith isn't even based on things that are tangible. It's based simply on God said this. It's his word. He's going to keep it. And during that time, you're going to have some comforters like Job that have come to you and say, you know, look what they did to Job. They said, look, Job, you must be sinning secretly because God wouldn't punish a good man. You're being punished. Many times people get to thinking when things are going wrong in their life that it's God punishing them. Why are you doing this to me? What did I do to deserve this? Look, just because you're going through tests and trials, just because bad things happen in your life doesn't mean you're being punished by God. People think, well, if God loved me, he wouldn't be doing these things. You really need to study the message. You really need to study the Bible and find out that is not the description of God's love at all. In the book of Revelations, he says to the one age, I know your suffering. Did he deliver them from their suffering? I know your suffering. He knew. He allowed them to go through those things. Look, friends, he allowed during those ages, he allowed Christians, believers, to be tormented, tortured, torn in half, tore up by wild beasts and everything else. You say, well, how in the world could that be for their good? Well, how long did that last? How long does getting tore up and killed by a lion actually really last? when you think about it in perspective to, if you're a believer, they were believers, where they went within an instant. Hallelujah. If you want to wonder on things, how do you even know they were still there when the body was getting tore up? The prophet says before the first stone ever hit Stephen, he was gone. They picked up stone and stone, and he looked at his head and said, he saw the Lord, man. Gone. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. People think, well, I'm being punished. It's God punishing me. Brother Adam said his comforters, Job's comforters came to him and said, you wouldn't be getting punished if you hadn't done something wrong. Sometimes people think, well, I got this illness, this disease or something because I must have done something wrong. But I'll tell you, I'm not saying that we shouldn't, when something comes up, we shouldn't actually take inventory and go back over life. We should. Take inventory. Go back. Make sure you've met all of God's requirements. Make sure that everything is right. But don't sit around and feed off the thoughts of the devil. Something must be wrong because everything's looking bad right now. I must have this sickness because I've displeased the Lord. Look, God will use many things to correct people. And he will use sickness to get people's attention and bring correction. But not in every case. Not in every case that somebody's sick is it God correcting them or that they've done something wrong. Brother Adam said about Job, he said, look, it wasn't that Job had done something wrong. And it wasn't that God was correcting him. He said, it was God was bringing out the qualities of a believer from Job. God will allow things to come our way and us go through things. It's bringing our faith to a showdown. It's causing us that we've got to exercise that faith. Look, friends, words are not the same as actions. People can say, I got faith, I believe. And they can say that as long as nothing's going wrong or bad. As long as they're not sick, they got faith. I've even heard people make brags. I didn't get sick because I had faith. Let me share something with you. Look, friends, look. Your faith, more times than not, God has you exercise your faith by allowing sickness to come to you, by allowing bad things to come to you, by allowing you to be tested. And that's not a sign that these things happen. It's not a sign that you don't have faith. It's opportunities for you to exercise your faith. The three Hebrew children being thrown in the fiery furnace, that was not because they didn't have faith. Well, if they had faith, that had never happened to them. No, that's not how it works. Look, friends, your faith does not grow on the mountaintop. And when people make statements that, well, yeah, I haven't got sick or I didn't get COVID or I didn't get this because I had faith. Let me tell you something. It just happened to be you were up on a mountaintop. It really didn't have anything really to do with your faith. Would it have something to do with God being merciful? Okay, that I'll agree with. And look, just because people get sick and die, that's not a sign they didn't have faith. Well, if they had faith, they wouldn't have died. That don't have anything to do with it. Look, your faith is about trusting God that no matter what happens physically, naturally, or whatever, that God's got it all in His hands. Your life is in His hands. And even your death could be for the good. You say, well, how is that good for me? Well, you know how it's good for you. Instantly, you're in glory. You say, well, how can my death be good for anybody else? It can. Look, God, we all quote, God works in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, I know I often say this, but look, friends, sometimes we get so, like tunnel vision, so single-minded, and we're just thinking about what's going on with us and what's happening to me, and don't realize, look, God is working on more than one of us at the same time. And we can see from the testimonies that we read about in the Bible, the testimonies that we receive from other believers, that God, some of the times the things God's working on in their life ends up being for your benefit. How many thousands of years ago was it that Job was going through this? And here you are sitting on September the 8th? 2024, you're benefiting. It's worked out. What happened to Job is working out for your good. There's things that goes on in your life that's going to work out for the good of others yet to come. Look, there's many testimonies that my dad gave me. You know, my dad, he gave his life to the Lord. He was really young when he gave his life to the Lord, and he actually started preaching the gospel when he was 17 years old. And there was many testimonies from his life of serving God that he would pass on to me throughout the years. Some of the testimonies I give to you in that, he gave them to me when I was a kid. And they stuck, and I never forgot them. I think about the testimony that I've given to you so often, the time where, you know, as I said, that he grew up poor. You know, look, and I've described to you, you know, the little shotgun-like house he lived in. They had four kids. He had three siblings, a brother and two sisters, you know. They didn't have enough, when they all started getting a little older, they didn't have enough room to sleep everybody in the little house they had. So him and his brother, they went and slept out in the what they called the wash house. And it was just, I'm sure down here you can imagine, it was just a framed up piece of wood with wood boards on it, you know. Air could come through and everything else. They lived down in where their house was. It was actually down in a flood zone by the creek. So the house and everything was all built up on stilts a little bit for the flood seasons. They didn't have no running water unless you were running when you were carrying it. Poor, and it was a bad time, and they didn't always have food. And there was times they had where, and you know, the testimony I give you, there was one time they did not have any food at all in the house. My dad here, he was just a young teenager. And him and his mother got down, you know, and began to pray in the house. And the knock came at the door. And the man said, God spoke to me, told me to go get this and bring it to you. It was two bags full of food, groceries. Nowadays, you bring somebody something like that, and they say, I got to cook this stuff. In the world you bring me? I can't fix any of this in the microwave. Some people just can't be grateful for blessings. He brought him two bags of groceries. And I think about that, friends. And that happened, I don't even know how many years ago that was that happened. I wasn't even there. I wasn't even thought of. My dad was a young teenager. But I benefited from what they went through. Why did they go to prayer? Because they were certain God would answer their prayer, that God would take care of them. They didn't go around trying to solve it. How can I change this? Maybe I can go borrow from somebody. Maybe I can go do this. Maybe I can do that. No, they just got down and prayed. They didn't call that neighbor, that man from the community there. They didn't call him on the phone and say, hey, we ain't got nothing to eat. God went there and told him, go get this for them. I gave you a testimony just a few weeks ago how, you know, one time we had a need to pay a bill and didn't have the money to pay it. And Brother Herb Kiffley come up and stuck a check in my pocket, wrote out to the exact penny of what I needed. Said, God told me to give you this. God didn't tell him why to give that to him. He didn't say, God told me you had a bill that you needed to pay. You know, generally, if somebody is giving you an offering or giving you money, they don't write out a check to the penny. They always round it. I'll give them $25. I'll give them $50. Not $50.15. But God's exact. And I'll tell you, he never questioned it, I guess. He just did what God said. Look, friends, he never said another word to me ever about that incident ever again. Brother Herb. He never came back. I saw him many times after that, even after I'd moved down here and things, and go back up there and see him and things. And he never come back up to me and said, remember that time I gave you that check? As far as I know, he probably never thought another thing about it. He just did what God had told him to do. And I'll tell you this, friends. I can tell you this myself. I know from watching him, God continuously blessed that man. But he was never stingy with what God blessed him. I remember, you know, he worked, I think he worked in the steel plant when I first met him. And then he retired from the steel plant, and he started going around and buying not just antiques, but there were antiques and things. But he would buy things that he seen that there was a value in that he could resell, and he would go to flea markets and different places like that. He would visit people that advertised they had something for sale, and he would see if it was worth something in that, and then he would make an offer and he would get it, and then he'd turn around and sell it and make money off of that. And He actually made a really good living off that, about as good or better than he made when he was working at the steel plant. Of course, he knew what he was doing. Friends, I couldn't do that to save my life. But he knew what he was doing, you know. And I remember there was times that, different times, I'd be in need of some money, and I'd have some kind of antique or something, or something I thought, I didn't know whether it was worth anything or not. And I'd say, hey, Brother Herb, when you get a chance, can you swing by? I got such. Could you tell me if it's worth anything, you know? And that, you know, because I thought, well, I could maybe make a little cash here that'll help me out. And he'd always come by, and you know what he would just say? He'd say, here, I'll give you this for it. And I said, but just tell me, and I'll try to take care of that. No, I'll just give you this for it. Just go ahead, I'll take it. He never would tell me if the stuff was worth anything or not. And I'll tell you what, friends, I would tell you probably 85% of the time it probably wasn't. Oh, my. He was a wonderful man. He was a wonderful brother. If you help somebody out, don't bring it back up to them. Don't go around and remind them, hey, I did this for you, I did that for you. You say, well, sometimes I've done things for people and they showed me they weren't thankful at all. Then just don't do nothing for that person no more then. But don't say anything about it. Just go on. Look, there are plenty of people out there, and friends, and I'm telling you, that don't have a grateful bone in their body. Don't let that bother you. Just go on. Hallelujah. Job. Job, look, friend, y'all know what boils are? To get a boil on you. Job was covered from head to foot in boils. Them things can get painful. You know, and they get, I don't mean to get gross on you, but they get filled up and swelled up and they get hurting real bad in that, and just the slightest touch or brush or whatever, oh my goodness, clothes just about kill you. And Job was covered in them. And they were hurting. You say, how do you know, Brother Jerry? Because he went out there and sat on the ash heap with a little piece of pottery and began to scrape them things, trying to get some relief. He was in bad. He had it bad. But during that time, Job began to look. During the time he was going through this, Job began to look around. He began to think. What happens to man after this life? And he would see, he looked at the flowers, and that the flowers came up, and that they died, and they were gone, not seen. But then spring would come again and the little flower would come back up. And Job looked at that and he thought, but what about man? When his life is over and he's dead and buried, will man live again? You think about this. Job was going through these trials and didn't have a revelation of the resurrection at that time. Job was facing all these trials and facing death and didn't even have the revelation that you walked in the door here with. And we whine and complain sometimes. And Job was wondering, the flower comes up again. What about man? And Job began to look at man, and he was thinking about God. And Job said, Oh, that there was a daysman. Somebody that could put one hand on God and one hand on me and understand what I'm going through. To feel what I feel. To understand what I feel. To understand my life. And after all the critics had left, after all the, you know, the ones that were telling him, God's punishing you, you must be sinning. That's why you're sick. That's why you're suffering. That's why God took your family. Lost all seven children like that. All seven, not just one, not just two or three, all seven all at the same time. But one day, as Job was thinking on these things and questioning this about the flower and about man's life and that, the lightning began to flash. The thunder began to roll. And Job had a vision from God. And Job saw a vision that there was coming one who could put his hand on a sinful man and a holy God. One that would know and be tested and tried in every way such as knowing the man. Would understand what we go through. Would understand our flesh. And would not only take our place, but Job got a revelation of the resurrection that he would live again. He got a revelation, a vision of this one that was going to be from God, God himself, to a man to put one hand on a sinful man and the other on a holy God and stand there and bridge the gap between. And then Job said, look, they might bury me. I might die through this. But I'll tell you this, they bury me even though the skin worms devour this body. He said, yet in my flesh will I see God. He got a revelation of the resurrection. I don't know how many years later, but however many years later, there was a man named Abraham. And Abraham believed the revelation that Job had got. And Abraham believed that. And Abraham believed he was going to benefit from what happened to Job. So Abraham, he went and found a cave that was in a field. Machpelah. And he went and found who owned this field with this cave. And he said, I want to buy this from you. He said, because I want to be buried there. Of course, the man who owned it said, well, look, I'll just let you be buried there. And he said, no, no, no. I need to buy it. No strings attached. I got to purchase this. And Abraham was buried there in that cave. Sarah was buried there in that cave. When Jacob and his sons during the famine had went to Egypt to be sustained during the famine, and Jacob died, his sons picked his body up and took it back down over there where that field and that cave was, and they buried Jacob in there. And then some years passed, and Joseph was going to die, and he said, make me a promise. You're going to leave out of here one day. That's the word of God. And when you leave out of here, don't leave my bones here. Look, Joseph was a man of prestige in Egypt. You know that. And people of prestige, they built them tombs there. Joseph said, I don't care nothing about none of that. When you leave out of here, you take my bones with you and you go bury them back over in that cave where my daddy is and where my grandfather Isaac is and my grandmother Rebecca and my great-grandfather and my great-grandmother. You go bury me over there. Look, friends, it wasn't about having a family burial plot. That's where Job was buried. And Abraham knew that's where Job was buried. And he believed and was benefiting from the vision that Job had got of the resurrection. And he said, I believe that to be God's word. I'm certain of that. I'm so certain of it. If there's going to be a resurrection, I want to be buried where Job's buried. Because if he's coming up, I'm coming up too. Well, look, you don't got to be buried in any specific place to come up in the resurrection. Not physically. As long as you've died to this flesh and been buried in Jesus Christ, planted in the waters of baptism, buried that old man of the sin and world that you were, and received a spiritual resurrection, a new life of Christ in you, it doesn't matter where you're buried physically around here. You're going to come up. Hallelujah. Job's life in the end proved that he was righteous. Like I said, many of them questioning, you must not be righteous, Job, why all this happened to you? But his life proved in the end that he was righteous. God took him through all that because God wanted to bring him to a place where he could actually show him something. Job ended up with more than what he had before all the trouble came in. You know that, don't you? Did you know that God actually restored everything? He restored all that Job had and had lost. He restored it all back to Job. God actually doubled when he restored. He gave him more cattle than he had. He gave him more livestock than he had. He restored everything. But you say, wait a minute. What about them seven kids? What about them seven kids that he lost? Brother Bram said, he restored them too. And Brother Bram said, you ask, how did he restore them? He said, well, God didn't give him seven other kids. He gave him the same seven kids. He said, but it wasn't in this life, so they were waiting on him in heaven. Many times we get so, like I said, focused on this life. When Job died, he never had to part from his kids again. They were waiting on him. Look, friends, we've had loved ones. He said, is God going to restore them? Yeah. In the resurrection, they'll come up. And you'll be reunited with them. Oh, I know we would have liked to have hung on to them in this life. friends, you'd say, Brother Jerry, you don't know because you haven't lost anybody. You don't look, friends. I'm not telling you I want to experience that personally. But I am telling you this. That's actually not a fear that I deal with. You know what fear I deal with? It's having some of my kids that's lost, and I won't spend eternity with them. I care more about that than I do this life. Job knew they were there. I know that, you know, we grieve, but just like Paul wrote, he said, comfort one another with these words. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Comfort one another with these words. They're gonna live again. They're not even dead now. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, friends. If our lives, if we're ready to go when God comes, we'll be reunited with him. We'll see him again. But the devil tries to torment me with thoughts of spending eternity without him. Don't get me wrong. I don't get so focused on that I can't enjoy the blessings of the children that God that I have that actually are serving God and God has done something in their life. I don't get so focused on that I can't actually appreciate these and enjoy them. But when I think about my children and grandchildren, not serving God, and I don't fool myself. I don't fool myself with some kind of fantasy belief. If they don't get their life right with God, they're lost. It don't matter how much I love them. Hallelujah. If you've got some that's over in glory today, we're focusing on, look, I realize the grief of losing loved ones and things, but Paul didn't say focus on that for comfort. He said focus on the fact that you'll see him again for comfort. Comfort one another with these words. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. Let me close with this. Brother Bram said, look, we as children of God, he said, we're not on a picnic here in this life. And we're not getting everything going to be fed to us, he said, with a silver spoon. He said, if you're going to reign, you're going to have to fight. And then he quoted that poem he quoted so often. I must fight if I must reign. Increase my courage, Lord. Must I be carried home on a flowery bed of ease? While others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas. No, I must fight if I must reign. Increase my courage, Lord. Help me. Help me to stand on your word. There's a song I used to sing years ago. It said, he never said there'd never be sorrows. No, he never, as I recall. He never said there'd never be times that I'd spin with my back to the wall. He never said there'd never be heartaches. But the thing was, he promised to keep us through it all. He promised to be with us through it all. Brother Branham said this. He said, many times he said, people look at him, Brother Branham, and he says, and they think, he says, they think that my life, it must be like a flowery bed of ease. They see him pray for people. They see the miracles happen. They see all the might of God in that. And he says, and they think that I've had it easy. It must be easy for me. He said, you don't understand. He said, it's not easy. And he says, and I don't always share everything that I go through and every snare Satan lays down for me. And he says, Satan's constantly laying snares down for me. He said, you don't know all the heartache I've been through, how I've been broken, the things I have suffered. He says, I don't know why people would think that Satan would let me by like that. Everything be easy. Look, there ain't nothing easy for any of us. Hallelujah. Your life, when either you leave here by the way of the grave or we leave here by the rapture, your life is going to end up being a testimony for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we ask God your blessings on the people this morning. Lord, to bless the word that's been preached, take it to their hearts, dear God. I pray, Lord God, that you will, Father, strengthen us throughout this week. Lord, I thank you for these times that you speak to us. Not only, God, times to when we're actually going through things to help us through it. But Lord, if we could only realize, God, you speak to us many times these things, and then we turn around and then we start going through something. And if we would just think back on, Lord, the word that you brought to us, we would see you were preparing us. You are actually equipping us to go through whatever it is that we had to face in this life. Lord, go with your people today, God. Be with them throughout this week, dear God. Lord, may this word, Lord, what has been preached today, may it go beyond just the syllables of the words that have been said. May, Lord, that faith, that it be believed and become, Lord, exercised, that word exercised in our lives. To your glory, we pray in Jesus' name.